What's up, my friends? Thanks for jumping in on another episode of MyFi. So glad that you're here. Have Lorraine Lewis on the show today. And man, it's super fun conversation I had with her. And I'll tell you all about her in just a minute, but let's get into it. Yes, glad you're here. This episode is super fun. Lorraine Lewis is a fun, stinking person. Just hilarious, unapologetically herself. Lorraine has a lot of accolades and has done a lot of stuff in her career. If you're familiar with her work, she was in a band in the 80s and 90s called Femme Fatale. They did some incredible things. She's had an incredible solo career as a great singer, songwriter. She is currently the front person for Vixen, which is another incredible 80s, 90s rock band. I've seen them a couple times, but I saw them most recently just a couple years ago at Creatures Fest in Nashville, and they just rocked it. I said on the episode, talking to Lorraine, maybe my favorite performance of that festival, just because they came out like they had nothing to lose and just annihilated the place. It was just so fun. Tons of energy. They got great songs, great band. Everybody in that band is just top-notch musician, vocalist, just anyway, great stuff. Lorraine has a ton of stuff going on. I talk about this in the episode, but I want to mention, I first heard her voice on a song called Chains that was in a movie, Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And we talk a little bit about that too. It's a fun part of the conversation. Vixen released a new single in the last year called Red that is a raging rock song. Great video. They did a lot of cool visuals and marketing behind it. It was just great. But Lorraine's got all kinds of stuff coming up. She's doing solo stuff. She's a TV producer. She does like casting and television as well for reality shows, game shows, all sorts of stuff. So that's super interesting. So even if you're not like into like 80s rock music, this is a great conversation just about working in the creative industry, working no matter what, just keeping going. Lorraine's been doing this for a long time and different things in the music industry and television industry. And it's always an inspiration to see people who just have done so much and yet still have energy to do more and more and more. Vixen's on tour this summer. You're going to want to check out LorraineRocks.co. LorraineLewisRocks.co is her website. LorraineLewisRocks.co. And then she's just at LorraineLewisRocks on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow her there. She posts a lot. There's a lot of content. You can get to her website and stuff through her profile links and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, you're going to love this conversation that I had with my friend Lorraine Lewis. So let's get into it. Lorraine, how are you?
I am doing great. Cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, I should have brought a drink with me.
It is Saturday, so yeah, life is good.
Yeah, good. It's great to meet you. I met you at a meet and greet once at Creatures Fest in Nashville, and then I was telling you before we started recording, I have a really hilarious video from the front. And hilarious, I just mean like you're this close. The show was unbelievable. You guys just slated. It was such a great show. Maybe my favorite show of that festival. It was just nonstop, and the band is just so great. But anyway, it's great to actually talk and hang for a bit. So I appreciate you doing the show.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here. I've been really busy, so yeah, it's nice to take a breath and kind of chill. I will say Creatures Fest was a great festival. The crowd was so into it and off the chain, and I love it when people are right in front and trying to connect. And I probably high-fived you or blew you a kiss or something. borderline of being obnoxious. I can do that. But it's all in good fun. So, yeah, Creatures Fest was a blast. I can't wait to be back again. And, yeah, the touring season is upon us. So,
yeah, you guys stay so busy. I have a bone to pick. You never come to Atlanta. I'm based right outside of Atlanta. We need you guys to get down to the Southeast.
That really sucks.
Yeah, you guys got to get down here.
look, we haven't even been back to my hometown, Albuquerque, New Mexico. So look, I have nothing to do with any of it. I have no say. I just go where they tell me to go and rock the house. That's my job.
Yeah. So. Well, y'all do it. I was actually going to ask you that. I'm glad you said that was your hometown. I know Femme Fatale started in Albuquerque, but I didn't know where you were from. So you grew up there.
I was, born and raised in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was raised on Lynyrd Skynyrd and Linda Ronstadt, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. And then I saw David Lee Roth and Van Halen, and it changed my life forever. I wanted to be Dave, and that is it. And that, I mean, I've always been a rock and roll girl, but I was, it was more Southern flavored for sure. I think probably growing up in Albuquerque. But then, it all changed when I saw David Lee Roth come strutting out crotch first on stage. And I just thought he was the coolest cat on the planet. I've said this just in a last interview. I didn't want to be Dave. I didn't want to date Dave. I wanted to be Dave. Big difference. Friends were like, oh, the band. And I was like, I want to be that dude. Like, that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. And
yeah. Was that your first show?
It was not my first rock and roll concert or concert. My first concert was, I did go to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Oh, nice.
I saw David Bowie and War.
Oh my gosh.
War opened up for David Bowie.
Wow.
How crazy is that? That was one of my first concerts, and definitely Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. Good times.
But it was the rock and roll thing that just connected with you from the beginning, I guess, huh?
Well, yeah. Yes. I mean, I always loved rock and roll, but the very first album that I ever got was Up and Away, My Beautiful Blue, The Fifth Dimension. My dad, you're pretty young, so I don't know if you remember this, but back on Sundays, record companies would offer like 10 albums for like a nickel or something.
Oh, I remember Columbia House. Yeah.
And then they all started doing it. And so my dad came to all of us kids. I come from a family of six kids, and my dad came to us and said, choose an album.
Oh, that's awesome. And
I gravitated to The Fifth Dimension, an all black, very colorful band. I just thought they were the bomb. And I loved the song. And it's really interesting to me that, and I was probably like 8 years old, probably 9 years old. And I actually love the fact that that is my first choice of album, because it really had to do with just the flamboyant hairstyles, the colors, the fact that they were African-American. I mean, it's kind of says a lot about just, I saw no color. Like, I just thought they were badass, and I just thought, cool. And I love knowing that about myself, that I just was like 8 years old, just like, oh, wow, these guys look cool. Yeah. I didn't see color. And that makes me really happy that I was raised in a family that didn't see color. But that was the first taste of vinyl. And then, I was in a rock and roll band that was more Southern flavored. I would sing Linda Ronstadt covers.
Nice.
And I wore all black with a black cowboy hat. And I was in, the band's name was West Wind. So interesting. Yeah. And then David Lee Roth came into my life.
Yeah.
And that was it. I just thought he was the coolest cat. And I just wanted to do that for the rest of my life. And here we are.
And I mean, I guess I remember, you know, there were bands, and I'm sure that you guys talk about this all the time. So I hope it's not annoying, but I'm sure that there were bands back then, like the Runaways and, you know, people who were female fronted bands, or female led bands, or whole, you know, entirely female bands. But you were definitely in the early stages of that, especially in like the metal hard rock era of music. Like, was that something you went, nah, if David Lee Roth can do it, I don't care. I can do this too. Or did you feel intimidated or anything like that in the beginning?
No, not at all. Well, also though, you know, I really cut my teeth in the club scene in my hometown. So I was very comfortable way early on in, you know, when I was in Westwind, I was 17 years old, 18 years old. So I've been doing this a long effing time. Yeah. I've been on stage a long time. I'm most comfortable when I'm on stage. That is my home. when I'm on stage, I know exactly what's expected of me. I know I'm there to rock the house. There are no questions. It's the real life stuff that I'm never really sure. Like, am I talking too loud? Have I said the wrong thing? Like, I don't know. Like, I am awkward in real life. At least I feel awkward. And people don't realize that really about me, because I think people think I'm just so comfortable in any situation. But no, real life is definitely challenging for me. I like to know what's expected of me. And like I say, when I'm on stage and when I'm there to rock, I know what's expected of me and there are no questions. Yeah. I just go. Yeah, what was the question?
Oh, no, just what was it like? Like, you jumped in, you said David Lee Roth, and I get that vibe. Like, I've seen you guys live twice in recent years, Vixen, and I get that vibe. Again, it was at Creatures Fest, it was one of, if not my favorite performance, and definitely one of the more energetic performances, top to bottom, and the band's just solid, and it was just a great experience. And I feel like you give that big front person energy all night long. And I just, if that was something, it seems the way you're saying it, is it something you've always been and always embodied? And was that easy, or were in the beginning, were there like insecurities or anything just fronting, but then also being a female in sort of a male dominated genre industry in the 80s?
I never really felt it. I just didn't feel it. And again, I'll go back to when I cut my teeth being on stage in bar bands in Albuquerque. Like, sure. I saw some old footage of me. Now, I will say I might have had somewhat of an identity crisis. Hmm. Like, I didn't really know, you know, like, what I was most comfortable presenting myself as. Sure. I had really short, bleach blonde platinum hair. It was the mid-80s, so it wasn't full-on, you know, Motley Crue and David Lee Roth and Van Halen then. It was, oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You know, those songs. And Do You Hear Me? Del Bozio. So it was that pop kind of 80s that I was, that's where I cut my teeth. Yeah. And so my identity, you know, I knew that inside I was a rock and roller, rock. I really want to rock, but the music wasn't fed that way to me. And so I was doing top 40 stuff and I was doing all of those hit songs on the radio. And then again, you know, we slanted towards being way more heavy in the top 40 band. And then, you know, Van Halen came out and it was all over. And then our look changed. But I just saw some footage on YouTube. It's kind of funny and really, really cool at the same time, because you can see I'm fearless. I'm completely fearless on stage.
That's awesome.
It's a bar band. It's a bar club. But I'm just like, I can hear and see what I am now in that girl back in the early 80s. I see it. And I'm yelling at the crowd, much like I do now. Yeah. You know, everybody on their feet. I mean, I'm like, I take no prisoners. Like, I just felt always on stage like this is an arena show.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter to me where it was. It's like, you're on your feet and let's go. And it's pretty amazing to see that, knowing, you know, looking back of where I sit now is pretty fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Well, I like it all.
Yeah. You said a minute ago, like, you're at home on stage, but off stage you feel a little more, you know, like, am I saying the right things? Am I talking too loud? All that sort of stuff. Are you an introvert or extrovert? Do you know?
I am all things at different times. I love being at home, but if my phone doesn't ring, I wonder if I'm still alive. Like, seriously, I'm like, have I like crossed over? Because my phone is really quiet. But I love being at home. But I'm at home a lot because, you know, during the week, I work in television. I'm a television producer.
Yeah.
And I work from home. And most of my interaction during the day is casting people and interviewing people. And so that's my social, like, that's what I do socially during the day, is I talk to people and try to get them on television, which means I try to get them to come out of their shell and be authentic, but be big. Like if their personality and their vibe is like on a 2, I'm trying to get them to a 9, 10, or 11 because that's what TV needs. We want big, explosive personalities, unfiltered, people that don't give a fuck, that are going to just like bring it. Yeah. And so that's my job. And it's very similar to what I do on stage. I am, let's stand up, like, let's go. It's the same gig.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
It's just a different treatment. But yeah, I think sometimes I am introverted. However, when I'm not introverted, I'm extremely extroverted. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a complete show off. Yeah. Like
nothing in between, huh?
No, not really. No. I mean, I just was at Starbucks this morning and I'm like, I'm full on and boobs up and I've got bright cowboy boots on and red lips and like, I just, here I am. And I laugh at myself and I take selfies all the time and I just like to live life to the fullest. And that is the extrovert girl that's in me that just, I just have fun and I laugh at myself a lot. You know, last night, I went to the 99 cent store because I had a bunch of 8x10s. I was selling a bunch of 8x10s on my Instagram and I wanted to package them correctly so they don't get all damaged. So I went to the 99 cent store, of course, because they have stuff that's 99 cents or $1.25. And so I went to get my packing supplies and mail supplies. And I just had the best time there. The best time. I mean, they have the coolest shit there. And so I just entertained myself. It was Friday night. And I know people are thinking that Lorraine's out partying or hooking up or whatever they think I do. I have no idea. But no, I'm at the 99 cent store having a flipping blast and filming it. And then I did an edit with, I have an assistant that works with me now. And we put a cute little reel together. And I found this amazing hat for $1.25. And I just had the best time. But yeah, I really believe, and thank you for letting me ramble on and on.
Yeah, this is great.
I honestly believe that I am meant to be on the planet to entertain. Like that is what I'm supposed to do. Like I'm here to entertain you. And I don't take myself too seriously. But I do at the same time. Mm. But I'm here to make you laugh. I'm here to make myself laugh. I'm here to let people know that there is no end. And I don't think about age ever. I don't think about dying ever. I mean, I just feel like I'm going to be here for flipping ever and doing what I do now. That's really how I feel. Like, I just love life. And I'm here to let that 40 or 45 year old woman or man that thinks it's over. I am here to tell you it is not over and it's not done until you decide to cut your hair all short or get a perm, then it might be over. don't do that.
I love it.
Don't do that because it's like they give up or something. I'm here to just tell you don't give up because you never know what's around the corner. I've got so much cool stuff going on that you would just go, huh? Yeah. Wow, that happened. It's because I love life and I'm just going to live it.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And I want to talk about everything you got going on. The reason I ask introvert, extrovert in the beginning was sometimes I'm shocked at the amount of people who are huge personalities on stage and then they get off stage and you're like, really, I love that and I do that well, but that's not who I am. That's not how I like recharge sort of a thing. And it always just shocks me. You know, that people who have massive personalities on stage and have massive personalities go, yeah, but I don't mind being by myself. And I think sometimes as creative people, whether you're a singer or songwriter or performer or whatever, you feel like you're not allowed to sort of be like that, you know, that you kind of got to turn it on all the time and be crazy and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, just hearing somebody go, no, I'm fine with being at the, you know, 99 cent store on Friday night. That's refreshing to people, I think.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just going to be me, whatever that is. And like I say, I mean, I'm a million different people at different times. I mean, and we all are if we really accept it.
Sure.
I just, you know, every situation calls for a different person, so to speak. Although I am always still me and grounded and know where I came from and know how lucky I am to be doing what I'm doing, no matter what. And I've been through some crazy stuff. I mean, a lot of people don't really know my life story at all. And I keep a lot of things that I've been through right here, because it's just not very sexy, some of it, right? And so I keep a lot of secrets. But I've been through a lot of stuff. I mean, look, I've been married 4 times. So that alone can tell you that I've been through some shit. I've been through some crazy up and down stuff. There will be a book at some point. I mean, I've been through some crazy stuff, and I'm a survivor, and I've been through some stuff that I needed to survive through.
Yeah.
With a lot that I've been through. But at the same time, I'm here. I get up every morning with a smile on my face, hoping for the best and looking for the best and finding the best. And I've overcome a lot of things in my life. You know, even just being deaf in my left ear. Not everybody.
Oh, wow,
knows.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was born deaf in my left ear. I actually have a, you want to see? I have a deformity. I have this funny little ear. It's like a little Martian. Isn't it
no
cute?
Idea. Yeah.
So I have a little Martian ear. It's something called microtia. And I was born that way. And my dad, actually, the story goes, my dad didn't want to take me home as a baby until the doctor fixed my ear.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. He's like, but she's damaged. My baby's damaged. We can't take her home until you fix that thing. And as the story goes, the doctor took my dad into the baby ward, and there were babies that were born without cleft chin, like didn't have faces, basically, and had cleft lips and all of this stuff. And he showed my dad all these little babies and just basically said, take your baby home and love your baby. Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy stuff. But I love my dad. He's left the planet. But, you know, he was just a young dad and just like, holy cow, I don't know what to do with this. you know?
Yeah.
But I'm fine. But it actually serves me really well with my pitch. I have really great pitch. Or I know when I'm really off pitch because I hear myself. You know, if you would close your ear right now and
talk. Yeah, it kind of helps. Yeah,
you
when you're tracking.
You can hear everything right here. And that's how I hear everything all the time. It's right here. So I know when I'm on pitch and I know when I'm off pitch, and it's a really cool thing.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing. I had no idea.
I know a lot of people don't know. I've just started talking about it probably within the last year or so. But yeah, it really does help. You know, when you watch American Idol and they shut their left ear and they're like, nee, nee, nee.
Yeah.
I have that all the time. So it's a really cool thing.
Yeah. My first interaction with your voice, I had heard probably of Femme Fatale. I got my first guitar when I was like 11, and that was, but I grew up loving everything 80s rock metal. I had cousins and my older brother introduced me to things. But the thing I remember was the song Chains from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. And the scene of them like cleaning up, like I remember vividly, like they're cleaning up the house or getting ready for the party, whatever. It's like, if you're too young to remember, Don't Tell Mom Babysitter's Dead was a Christina Applegate movie. And she was like a big deal back then because of, Al Bundy. What was the show?
Married with Children.
Yeah. Married with Children. And everybody loved Christina Applegate and thought she was hot and everything. And so, anyway, I just remember that song going, man, this song's awesome. And then my brother, got that soundtrack on, cassette. And I can't remember. I didn't remember if it was, I should have looked this up, but I didn't remember if it was a solo song or if it was a Femme Fatale song.
No, it was a solo song basically. Okay. And I love you even more now that you brought this up, and I'll tell you why. This song, there are so many people that know this movie and know this song, and that song was so cool. Like, I'm so honored that was the climax of the movie. Like, that's when...
Yeah, it was cool. It's like a turning point. Yeah.
Yeah, they're getting ready for the big fashion show. And it just kicks in and it's cool and the drums are cool. And I remember it vividly. It was written by Billy Ray, although, and I just am coming clean with it. I mean, I wrote the melody lines for that song.
Oh, nice.
But I didn't get any credit for it. I just... Yeah, I have no credit on that song. It's all Billy Ray, and that's all good, whatever, but I'm just
Well, we know the truth. We know.
Yeah. So, you know, they had me go in. It was an MCA project. They had me go in to sing, and they had the music already done. And I went in the studio. It was really early, I remember. And he was working with me, and he was just like, you know, just kind of, what do you hear? What do you feel? And so I started coming up with stuff. And he did have the words all written, but it's definitely my melody and my vibe that I brought to that. And I love the song. I love the movie so much. Recently, I met someone that drove out to meet me in Boston when I was in the studio. And he mentioned that song. He said, this is one of my favorite songs. And he's a director, a movie director. Oh, nice. And a production company. He's like, I love this song. And so funny enough, Femme Fatale, I'm releasing Femme Fatale live on F&A Records later this month.
Okay.
And we put Chains on the CD.
Oh, nice.
Yes, because it's never really had any, like, people message me, they're like, where can I get this song? And you can't get it anywhere. So we have it on the CD. It's coming out with the live tracks from when Femme Fatale was on tour with Cheap Trick. And it sounds great. And then another weird thing with that movie is that I'm friends with Courtney Stodden. I don't know if you know who that is. She was a reality star that was married to Dave Hutchinson, who is from The Green Mile.
Oh, okay.
He was 54. She was 17, 16. I mean, it was a crazy Hollywood story. Anyway, she's a really close, dear friend of mine. And I met her because of television, because I was casting a sober coach reality show. And I reached out to her and her management, and we've been friends ever since. Like, that was like 9 years ago. I've known her for like 10 years.
Okay.
And we are really close and really good friends. And she's dating Jared Sider, I think his name is. He's an Emmy winning director. And they're dating. Anyway, 3 days ago, they post that they're at an event in Hollywood for the premiere of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. It's an African-American black version.
Wow.
Yeah. So
are they using the soundtrack?
They're not using the soundtrack. Oh. It's more current, you know, but
That's awesome.
Something with this song and this movie, and you know, I'm very in tune with manifesting and creating, and I'm the creator of my life, and I just find it so fascinating that here we are 30 some years later, and there's a rebirth for this movie, which I can take advantage of in a way to then now present, like I just told you, the song is going to be on the Femme Fatale CD. Like, it's so bizarre to me, right?
Yeah. Like,
and that's when I say to people, it is never over. Like, it is not effing over. Like, what? You know the song. Like, how is it that you know the song and we're talking about? Like, this is the coolest
shit
that
it
does. Yeah, I love it.
Are they going to press vinyl? Is F&A going to press vinyl of that live edition?
We're going to release the CD first, and then there's only going to be 100 copies of the vinyl.
Okay.
And with the vinyl, you get an 8x10 glossy, which I actually happen to have here.
Nice.
This has not been released yet. This is Neil. I don't know if you can see.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Neil Zlozauer. I haven't released this one yet. I've released this other one. This is what I made available to everybody. And that's what I've been sending out. But I'm holding on to the other one because that's going to be released with the vinyl. And not only do you get to purchase the vinyl and you get the 8x10, but I think that like there's going to be 5 or 10 copies where I autograph them, and you also get a phone call with me.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. So buy a vinyl, people. Buy the vinyl.
Yeah, cool. It's going to be so cool. So like I say, like life is just a wild effing ride.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
You absolutely never know. So you got that going on. Just last year, Vixen released their first single in a long time, which was It's a rager. It's such a great song. Sounds great. The whole vibe, all the marketing behind it was awesome. Is there more stuff coming besides Red?
I would love to say that we have another single to drop next week. We have been working on things collectively and solo. We don't have anything yet to release yet, but we were in the recording studio together as a band working on a track that I presented to the band, actually. But I don't know what the plan is for rolling that out.
Sure.
I just know that the biggest news with Vixen is that we're back out on tour very, very soon. Lots of shows this summer. They're putting us, they're packaging us with Ace Frehley.
Yeah.
And, who, by the way, 10,000 volts.
It's unbelievable.
Oh.
Yeah.
That, oh my God. The songs are so good. He's yeah. so cool. He's so funny. I love him. I love him. I actually was wanting to do a reality show with him, but I think that he might have that already in the works.
Oh, maybe.
Probably. I would imagine. I can't imagine that he wouldn't, because he's a total star. He's a total reality star character.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I sent him a couple of messages on Instagram, and I haven't heard from him. And yeah. so, okay, Ace, we're going to be on tour together. But they're packaging us with Ace and with Slaughter and and Great White. I mean, it's going to be a great summer for us.
Man, you guys got to get down to the Southeast.
We got to get all, look, wherever they will put us, I will play. I want to go to Europe. I want to go to England. I want to go back to Sweden, back to Germany. I mean, I just want the train to keep rolling as long as possible. So, but yeah, lots of shows going on with Vixen. You know, look, Roxy on drums, monster drummer,
yeah.
killer drummer, leader of the band, Julia Lage on bass. You know, playing bass is the only job she's ever had.
Like, that's amazing. Ever. She's incredible too. Incredible singer too.
Great voice, great girl, like amazing. So yeah, so that rhythm section is out of this world. Then you got Britt Lightning, Lightning Fingers, one of my best friends on the planet. I love her so much. She's just so talented and great at everything that she does, and pretty much yeah. everything she touches turns to gold. And then me, I'm like the cherry on top. But you know, together we're collectively just a group of badass babes that know how to get it done and want to rock and roll and just have a blast. I mean, it's, we have fun on stage. We laugh yeah. a lot, smile a lot. We high five. There's no competition or jealousy. Like, we're just a tribe of badasses.
Yeah. Well, it comes off that way for sure. I'm glad you guys are going out on tour. Being on tour, and I know you're working on some solo stuff too. Are you in the studio this summer in the midst of all that craziness too?
I am. I'm flying to Boston on Friday. I'm going to go see Lita Ford
Thursday
in Hollywood. We love Lita. And then I'm going to fly out to Boston. There's a song, I've written a bunch of stuff, but there's a couple of songs in particular that I'm going to, one of the titles is Home is Where the Heart Is. And then another one is I'm Only Human. Those are, I'm really excited. I'm actually going to do a video for I'm Only Human. And it's Lorraine music. It's rock, but it's not Red, and it's not super metal or in your face or anything like that. It's heartfelt. It's organic. It's real, but it's rockin'. I would say it's sort of like, it's a little like, or what I hope, it's little Rod Stewart meets Stevie Nicks meets...
Oh, wow.
Sheryl Crow meets Black Crows, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
A little going back bit to those Southern roots a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. When left to my own devices at this with my writing lately, that's kind of where I'm leaning. It would be probably different if I was writing with a band and we were just like attacking. But yeah. when I'm sitting with my acoustic guitar, it's right there on my couch. That's what comes naturally for me.
Yeah.
And basic chords. You know, I'm a basic, you know, D-A-G, D-A-G, D-A-G.
Hey, man, it's all you need. Three chords and the truth, right?
That's right. You too. That's right. So, yeah, that's, and then we're going to work on a song, me and the producer in Boston, Life, Love, Rock and Roll, and it's an anthem. So that's going to be even more rockin'.
Nice.
It's anthemic, but yeah, I'm excited. And then I released, you probably saw the song I released with Angry Hill Band.
Yeah, they're out of Boston too. Yeah, okay.
Yes. Okay. I met them from the producer. I actually, Vixen was working in that studio in Boston. Okay. That's how I met Angry Hill, because apparently they were working with Doug Botchwelder. That's who owns the studio, and they came in. They've released 8 albums on their own.
Oh, wow.
They're deep, and they're really good. The singer actually performed at Live Aid.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, with Buck, the singer from Buck Cherry was there, and like, yeah, I've seen footage. It's wild. Anyway, so he came into the studio. His name is Keith Dennehy, and he came into the studio, and he said to Doug, "I really love this song, Leave the Lights On, to be a duet." And then Doug said, "Oh, well, Vixen was just here like a couple days ago." And so they, you know, I started talking to them, and we met on the phone, and they sent the song, and I thought the song was great. And so they had me come out and do the song. And they're doing a documentary for the song. And I'm going to go ahead and say one of these things. It was kind of funny that happened. As a singer, and you know this because you're a musician, when you're in the studio, and especially when you're singing, and you're going for notes that are like in the rafters,
yeah.
Like I make funny fucking faces. You know, it's like, it's gnarly. And so I told Doug, I was like, because he said the band really wants to come in when you're doing the tracks. And I said, that's totally great, but I'd like them to come towards the end of the session once we have it almost locked in. Hmm. So I get there, I get off the plane, get driven in, go over to the studio. They're all there.
For the whole set.
From the get-go. And I'm like, But it was cool. I met them. They're very huggy. It was very cool. And then at one point, you know, we had gotten most of the song down and they were really happy. And then I think that they thought the button, you know, they didn't think I could hear them. They thought that they were muted. And so they were talking about harmonies because they're a really great harmony band, 3-part harmony. And so they're talking amongst themselves, so they think. And somebody says, you know, they do this little trill, like up high. And somebody says, let's see, you know, let's have her do that. And then someone says, I don't know, man, that's like really high. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if she could really do that. It's really high. And I heard them say that. And then I was like, okay, fuckers. I was like, get ready. So I kind of played dumb. I'm like, okay, so what do you want now? And so they kind of sang it. And I was like, I just nailed it. And then I was like, want me to do that again?
Nice.
They're like, oh, this was great. I'm like, no, let me do it again. And I was like, oh, let me do it again. I did it like probably 12 times just because I just wanted to. Because when you're in the studio, and I work so well with Doug, and it just, the vibe is great in there, and my voice was just feeling great on this song, and I just went for it over and over and over again, and that's the stuff that they left in the song, like those really high rafter notes, they fell in love with them, so.
That's awesome.
It was just fun.
That's amazing.
I'm sassy.
No. I appreciate you being on the show. I love that through seasons of your life, there's just no stopping. I think that's encouraging to people. It's really easy. I literally saw a friend of mine who posted something today. She's in her 50s, and she posted something about, like, you know, that she had friends who had sort of adopted this, well, I'm just sitting in my 50s wishing I was 25, and how that doesn't get you anywhere. And it was just really encouraging. I think that one of the great things that social media has done, you know, there's a myriad of terrible things it's done, but one of the great things it's done is I think it's destroyed a little bit of the ageism that as long as you're good at what you do, you can do it for as long as you want to do the work to be good at it. And if you want to, you know, work hard and take care of yourself and maintain relationships and be kind and, you know, just do the stuff you need to do, there's always going to be opportunities like that for people. And the older you get, the more you know who you are, the more you know what you do and what you don't do, what you're great at, the more you believe in yourself and the things you do great. There's just such a benefit to it. And I think it's so encouraging. you know, to see all the seasons of your life, not just through the musical thing, but TV stuff and all the things that you've done, that you still have so much energy for what you're doing and what's ahead of you. And I mean, you're literally, I was looking over some of the notes that your assistant sent, and the Femme Fatale stuff, the Vixen stuff, the solo stuff, the features. I mean, there's so much stuff going on just in the next 6 months of your life. And I think that's encouraging to anybody. If you're in music or whatever, or if you're just a fan of music, or if you're any kind of creative person, I think that's encouraging. So I appreciate you being so open about it and encouraging and all that sort of stuff and being on the show with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, I could talk about this stuff like forever. Like, you know, I'm going to go to Hollywood tonight and see Kelsey Carter, who is a very young, she's badass. Oh my God.
Her boyfriend is the guitarist in the Struts. And I love the Struts.
Oh, I love the Struts too. I didn't even realize that. I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. I'm going to get picked up in a couple hours and I'm going to go to the show. I can't wait. I met her at NAMM when Britt got honored with the She Rocks Award.
Oh yeah.
And Kelsey was there.
British, right? British Kelsey Carter? Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
She's so great. And so, she sent me a message on Instagram and just invited me. And I'm just thrilled. And so, of course, I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm getting driven out there. I'm going to the show and then I'm driving right back because Sunday is tomorrow and I don't have any TV stuff or anything. I'm just going to do normal kind of stuff and clean my balcony and maybe drink some coffee and just chill.
Sounds like a great day.
You know, but yeah, Sunday fun day. I'm going to just be good to myself and then get ready for, you know, casting starts again on Monday. The show is for the CW. It's Trivial Pursuit and Scrabble. So I'm basically nice. Finding big personalities of people that are smart that can play these games. And then finding out little tidbits about them that we can sprinkle in the interview, you know, something unique about them. And I push and I dig, you know, it's challenging for people sometimes. They're like, yeah, I don't know. There's nothing. I don't really do anything exciting. And I just dig and dig and dig. And then finally, you know, this guy the other day, he said, yeah, I'm a bookworm. Like all I really do is read books and work on Scrabble and that's kind of it. And I kept throwing out things. I was like, do you have a tattoo of Madonna on your back? I don't know. And I just started throwing all this stuff out. And then finally he said, I am a really good baker. I'm like, what? You bake? He's like, yeah, I bake a really good Toll House cookie that I redefined the recipe and I take it to the Scrabble games. I'm like, that's it. That's your magic. And sure, it made it into the edit and everybody laughed and it was just adorable. So I know how to get people on TV. I really do. Not all my people get on TV, but I love what I do in that arena as well. And thank you so much, Lee. This is really fun.
Yeah.
Take over everything.
It's been awesome. I just appreciate the time, Lorraine, and the encouragement and everything that you're creating and doing and all the stuff that you've already done that people love so much. So y'all be safe out there on the road and we'll look for the release from Femme Fatale and all the solo stuff and all that stuff too. So thanks again.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Thank you.
Great conversation. Lorraine's energy is encouraging to me. We talked a little bit after the episode, after we got, you know, off camera and all that sort of stuff, just about what an encouragement is to see people who just continue to create and do what they love to do through tons of different seasons of life. And we barely scratched the surface. She mentioned on the episode, she's writing a book. I hope that's soon because it seems like her life story is incredibly interesting and inspiring and all those things. So make sure that you are following her at Lorraine Lewis Rocks on Instagram and TikTok. You can also find her on Facebook, and then her website is lorrainelewisrocks.co. Make sure that you check out that vinyl. I'm excited. There's finally going to be a place that I can listen to that song from Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I actually need to find that on cassette, or maybe there's vinyl pressings. I need to figure that out because that's a good soundtrack. I got to thinking a little bit more about that after we finished the episode, and there's a lot of good songs on that. That was kind of a good time for rock and roll. Another one like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, those soundtracks, one and two, There's some good stuff on those soundtracks. I know that's a little bit of a rabbit, but I like those late 80s, early 90s soundtracks. Good stuff on there. So anyway, thanks for joining us for the episode. Listen, make sure that you're following me at Lee T. Baker. You can also follow the podcast at MyFi Podcast. Check out my website, leetbaker.com. I do a free newsletter every Monday called MyFi Monday for creatives of all kinds. Just great encouragement and practical inspiration for you if you're working in film industry, music industry, whatever it is. If you're a creative person, entrepreneur, whatever it is, I think this is for you, and you should go sign up. You can go to MyFiMonday.com or leetbaker.com. To sign up for that free newsletter. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you're at so you don't miss an episode. We got a few more in this season before we kind of take a break for the summer. And so you don't want to miss it. So make sure and subscribe and follow and all that good stuff. And until next time, you guys have a good one.